Hello. Oh, how could I pass by this beautiful work, these baskets? It's wonderful.
Yeah, all handmade by me. We're here in the Diamond in Monaghan. I'm Breda Trainor. I'm a local basket maker based in the Emmy Vale area.
And you're making something here. You're never letting time go to waste.
No.
Morning in the Diamond in Monaghan and you're still working away.
Still working away. You come to market to get piece to make your basket.
You've one already made up here.
It's sort of like, you know, Little Red Riding Hood. Mm. And she's got the red cape. It would suit you, Vincent.
The cape or the basket?
The basket. It's like something she would carry yeah. the goods to granny in and through the woods.
Yes.
If the wolf came, you could run fast with it.
Get well ahead.
Monaghan is woven into Ulster, part of the spine of the border in the Republic of the North. At once a bridge and a zone of contest, a unique county where language, tradition, loyalties and the land itself overlap and hoop into the spiral story of division and unity. You hear a lot of laughter on the streets here and things get done.
I was about 3 years making till I sold my first one for hard cash. I remember
a lovely feeling.
I remembered I was on Cookstown Street, County Tyrone, and they said, oh, I'm just going to the cash machine, I'll be back. And I thought, well, I'll never see those people again.
But they came back
and that was my first sale.
And how did the sales go for you here in Monaghan?
Very well. Monaghan people are great, Vincent, for spending money. Even when they don't have it, they'll spend it.
That's a good sign.
It's a great county.
Yeah.
Enterprising.
Do you know, I think I might do like the people in Tyrone did and go off to the bank machine.
Oh, the bank machine. Never see you again, Vincent, but I know where to find you.
You're listening to The County Measure. I'm Vincent Woods. We're making a journey around Ireland 100 years after independence and partition to get a measure, to get many measures of all 32 counties. We're looking at place, landscape, and the people who shape their lives within these boundaries of community and county. In this series, I'm hoping to get a fresh understanding of each county and its people as we shape a radio atlas of Ireland. A wet weekday night in a GAA centre off the main road between Monaghan Town and Castleblayney. This is where the hard graft is done. Scores of women training in the rain. Players from local teams in Dunamoyne, Duhamlet, Éire Óg, Trua, Rockcorrie. These are the backbone of the game, of community and of county football.
Hello, Mary.
Mary Grimes spent decades organising and volunteering at club and county level. She's now PRO of the Monaghan Senior Ladies Team.
Mary, tell us first of all who you are and where we are.
Right, my name is Mary Grimes and I'm here in Clochan Centre of Excellence in County Monaghan. It's the centre where all the county teams train. And Wednesday night is left over to the ladies. Lucky enough, they give us the whole facilities for under 14, under 16, minor and senior. We get to train on this night.
Did you ever get a chance to play yourself?
I didn't. Now, I would have loved to have, you know.
Do you regret that you didn't?
I do. I would have loved to have, you know, but it just wasn't in my area.
Different time. And I'm sure you're making a huge contribution now.
Oh, yes. I do. Yeah, I do get involved in a lot of stuff. You know, I mean, in Monaghan, the registration has jumped and jumped and jumped. It jumps every year. So, you know, you're doing a lot more than you were then, you know.
We might go and meet some of the women training and then have a chat with a few of them before they get into the really serious training.
Yeah, we'll
Mary,
do that.
It's great to meet you.
Yes,
lovely.
Thanks very much.
Amy Garland, halfback.
Maeve Monaghan, halfback.
Jennifer Duffy, midfield.
Amy, are you Dunamoyne?
Yes.
yes, I am. Dunamain.
Famous team, and even you've won all rings around you in county level and Ulster level and an All-Ireland title or two. Yeah. What makes you so good at the football?
It's probably just for the passion and the drive that we have in Dunamain and bringing it here along to Monaghan as well. It's just the love for the game, and everybody who say it, you've 30-odd sisters on the team and a big family around you. So, look, that's always good to have, and that drives you on.
Maeve, what age were you when you started playing?
I think I was 6 or 7. I loved the football. I was always a bit of a tomboy growing up, so I always loved playing the football with my few sisters and my brother. I remember my brother teaching me how to solo when I was little, but now I'm the one teaching him how to solo.
It's interesting to see the change that's coming now in 2027. You know, Mary McAleese at the centre of bringing women's football, like the LGFA, in with Camogie into the GAA, so that kind of reorganisation and the streamlining of everything, you know, that seems to be a really positive and good move.
Yeah, definitely. Like, I would have been playing Camogie growing up, and playing county football at the minute nearly put me off playing Camogie because I couldn't play both. It was impossible. I kind of fizzled away from Camogie and stuck to the football, but hopefully now that they're amalgamated, it'll be a bit more flowing between two sports.
And Monaghan then, what does that sense of the county mean to you when you play?
I love hearing the Farnie County. I'm very proud to say where I'm from. My name's actually Monaghan as well, so it's nearly easier. In Monaghan, Gaelic football is life. You know, people live and breathe Gaelic football. It's a real strong community.
Good, 15. Good, nice and quick, super.
Now we'll do ya.
Good, first touch, keep it up the deck, let's go. 5 seconds. Big push.
Here in Clonus, outside the Creighton Hotel, with two old friends, two writers, Pat McCabe and Ted McCarthy, and you met in school, Ted.
It's so far back that you don't know whether you're happy you can remember it or not, but that's we were 2 years between us, and Pat was always one step ahead, and still is.
Many a weekday in Clonus, two old friends meet and go walking on the edge of the town, close to the old railway station where the famous skirmish or Battle of Clonus took place in 1922. And off we go, walking into the countryside, till we find a friendly bench to sit on.
Sit down.
There used to be an old teacher of mine, Master O'Brien was his name, and I used to see him out here with his red setter every day, and there was something kind of ageless about him, and I thought, that would be all right, if you're trotting along with your red setter. I don't know what age you would have been then, but there was a kind of a continuity thing about him. He was a scholar, you know, and people aspired some degree to that kind of scholarship in those years.
I started teaching in Killarney, which is outside Carrickmacross. It's the neighbouring parish to Inniskeen, so their language or their music would have been the same as Cavanagh's. And even the way in which they would have local words, so they would have said brung instead of brought. So you have these tiny little differences that make up the character of a small place, which is unique. And the Butcher Boy did the same, I think, in terms of our language. You know, it is written in the voice of somebody from here, somebody we have heard growing up, which is the music and the speech and the rhythm of the children that we would have gone to school with.
But of course, we had Eugene McCabe and Kavanagh. Like, we never questioned that this was a valid, you know, there was a writer from, I think it's Cullibaki or North Antrim anyway, called Ian Cochrane. And I said it at the time that when I was being showered with all these plaudits, I said, these are misplaced because there's someone who's done this effortlessly long before I did it. And that was Ian Cochrane, who wrote a string of novels in the early 70s, like A Streak of Madness, Ladybird in a Loony Bin, a whole bunch of these books, and they're written in a really kind of rough rural vernacular, and I sort of surfed on that, really.
And that is, you know, to read that is like going to the well. To read your own voice, you know, proclaimed in that work of that quality.
The Well of Clonus.
The Well of Clonus. Well, the water in the Well of Clonus is as good as any other water, and better than most, you know. So why wouldn't we drink from it, and why wouldn't other people drink from it?
It was a notion that Beckett used to see these old tramps and everything around, and he put them into his end games and everything. But I think you've always found them around here, and I'm just trying it is about music, but it, you know, you need rests and minims in music as well for dramatic effect. You need absence. Used to be a corny one, like, what way did they talk in Monaghan, you know? The example given was, the cat put its paw in the fire. Took it out again, but...
Listening to The County Measure, and we're in Monaghan. Driving here in the lovely Drumlin landscapes of Monaghan, you can't but sometimes be aware of road safety and remember the tragic deaths of young people in traffic accidents. And I think back to my own childhood and youth and an interest in motoring and rallying, great fan of Rosemary Smith. And here, just outside Scotstown in Monaghan, is Rally School Ireland, where people can come both to enjoy the experience of rallying, but people can come as well to learn something of the rules of road safety. And it's one of the main tourist attractions in Monaghan, so a very interesting spot in the county. The Rally School gets 5,000 visitors a year and has been going for 25 years as a family-run business. It's both a racetrack and a road safety centre of excellence, offering practical, immersive learning.
Hello there, how are you doing?
Not too bad, now.
Good.
I'll just let David know you're here. He's
brilliant.
Sinead McCary straps me into a Toyota GT86 left-hand drive and I take a spin with driving instructor Brendan Trainer. But first, RSI founder David Smith gives me an overview of the company's road safety mission.
So just a wee quick look around the road safety hall or road safety centre. So it's all purpose-built. We've worked in road safety or with the Road Safety Authority for probably 15 years now at this stage, and we've built the Road Safety Centre of Excellence with a view to immersive learning where you're taught in a really practical way. But that one rotates at really quite high speeds, so you get into the driving seat and then you slowly rotate you around and you're getting to see, right, the car's on its side, who gets out, how do you get out, what do you do?
Brilliant.
The car's upside down, what do? We need to break a window, then what would you do? What are you going to do? Most common cause of an accident is people not paying attention. The number two cause, which is not really mentioned anywhere, which is people driving too close. So if we could increase the distance, if we asked you when you're on the road to just literally double the distance from the vehicle in front of you, dramatically increase the distance from the vehicle in front, we've made a significant dent into reducing death, removing a huge amount of the injuries, and just making people less stressed when they're driving, and making driving much safer. And now the prevalence of drugs, in chatting with Gardaí doing roadside stuff and that, they're just starting to see that it's more and more and more and more and more common. So we'll escort you out to the car here.
Brilliant.
And we'll just get you strapped in.
Maybe you do.
I enjoy driving.
That's the good thing about it. Huh? A 17-year-old Vincent will be leaving here now, that's for sure.
So I'm just going to pop the seatbelts on first, and then we're going to get you moved forward, okay?
Yeah, brilliant.
I'm just going to tighten the belts in for you,
okay?
Yeah,
brilliant. You're
good to go then. All right, so you're away and running. So you're going to give it a nice wee bit of power and you're away, second gear. So you're away with it, so you're going to give it a nice wee bit more power, a bit more power. So it's nice and early on your braking. So it's brake, brake, brake. Now get off the brakes. This is where you're thrusting your car, Vincent. Let her right into the corner. Give her a small bit of power. Now nice and steady on your brakes. So brake, brake.
The track is very tricky, so it's designed to replicate difficult rally conditions, because that's what you meet in that real world situation in motorsport. 14 corners in 1.1 kilometers, so you're constantly working, you're constantly driving and stuff, and that's the bit that gives you the thrill.
Now go wide for a nice wee handbrake.
What do we think? Engine off. What do you reckon?
Ah, geez, mighty. That's great.
What happened in that last corner there?
What we just did
for a little bit of a handbrake turn there at the end, you know, a little bit of a stall for the finish. You know. Was that the plan?
He was very encouraging. Yeah. He said, I said, go for it.
I was trying to get the 17-year-old Vincent out, you said.
It's never hard. It's never He's never far away.
May you stay forever young.
Gentlemen, really, and here's to the next 40 years in Radioland, huh?
Next 40 years of rally,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
Glasloch here in North Monaghan, very close to the border with both Armagh and Tyrone. Famously, of course, the seat of the Leslie family in Castle Leslie, very close to here. Originally, the lands of the McKennas and the McMahons. The first Leslie came here in the 1700s, a famous fighting bishop. You know, so much history contained here. Paul McCartney's wedding to Heather Mills in 2002. Down the centuries, all kinds of people visiting the Leslies and Glasloch. Jonathan Swift was a regular visitor, and I love his line where he talked about in the big house, rows of books upon the shelves written by Leslies all about themselves. You're reminded of how far north, how deep into Ulster we are here. It was Glasloch, Caledon and Tyrone and Tyne in Armagh that made a kind of perfect hinterland. They're all connected villages, and that connection was severed with partition, with the border. There's a monument here to Charles Powell Leslie, erected by his grateful tenants, it says. He died in 1870. And, well, the monument is here as testament to the history. And the Leslie family motto was, hold fast, grip fast. And they're still here.
Each night, as the July sun lowers over Leslie's Wood, by the still waters of that evergreen lake, an unquiet eclipse like clockwork begins. From that stillness, a roaring procession of hawking and harking and howling closes in, like thunder growling in the warm clouds above. And with my neck stretched, staring up towards that Monaghan sky, I see an army of black wings, soar and soar and soar, just as the people here have seen for centuries, through famine and sickness and war.
Everywhere you go in Monaghan, something in nature catches the eye. The glint of Loch Mucknow, light on Schlieve Bay, birds in flight around the Fane or Blackwater rivers. At Moylan Loch near Carrickmacross, I meet local young conservationist Brian McCluskey to look at wintering ducks and hear about his passion for bird watching.
There's a few good lakes in South Monaghan, but this is definitely my favourite because the water levels fluctuate here, which means that there's great feeding for flocks of widgeon, and you can have several species of ducks here as well. So,
and today then, you know, you've set up so we can look at what's on the lake. What do you think is here?
Out on the lake, just there in a very quick scan, there's mallard, shoveler, tufted duck, and a really nice flock of widgeon that are feeding over at the edge of the lake here. This is my telescope. I would be completely lost without it because, to arrive here and to look out, you would think there's nothing. But once you actually scan with the scope, it's unbelievable.
Looks like it. Weather is all weather.
Yeah.
Built to last.
So these are the widgeon here. Some are in the water, but they'll swim onto the grass to graze as well. I could show you widgeon as well if you want. So these are strictly wintering birds in this area. So there's three lapwing at the in the foreground, and then there's a couple of teal sleeping behind them. So the teal has a really prominent, it's a small duck with a really prominent white horizontal line on its side. That's usually pretty easy to pick up at even at long distance.
Water looks good and chilly today now.
Yeah.
Fine white silver sheen off it. Good hardy duck.
So the widgeon are grazing up on the slopes around this lake. So I mean, here at Moylan, there's rumours that a conifer plantation would be put around this, which would be disastrous for everything using this lake. That would be their feeding gone because they like to graze on the fields, and that habitat would just be completely gone for them.
Because we're looking across, we're looking at sloping fields down to the water, hedgerows, trees, a very old environment and a farmed made environment, and any massive interference, I guess, would change all that.
It would change for sure. Yeah,
it's great you're doing this work.
Yeah. I feel very lucky that it's also my job. Yeah, so some people say, I suppose, work might take from your passion, but it's the opposite for me. You know, I do 5 bird surveys a week, and by the weekend I can't wait to get birding.
Coming up on The County Measure, memories of the Monaghan bombing of 1974, country singer Damien Davis and an Orange Pipe Band in Clontibret.
RTE Radio 1.
Tuesdays with Maury, the uplifting adaptation of Mitch Albom's best-selling book, is coming to the Gaiety Theatre from April 16th to the 27th. Dan Butler, known as Bulldog in the popular TV series Frasier, will play the irresistible Maury, and Stephen Jones plays Mitch. This is a feel-good story of friendship that will make you cry, but above all, it will make you laugh. Tuesdays with Maury at the Gaiety Theatre from the 16th of April. Tickets available now at gaietytheatre.ie.
Entertainment updates on RTE Radio 1.
Invite the family over for a fantastic Easter dinner with Lidl. Our award-winning Bord B approved deluxe Irish Angus topside roast with sea salt and black pepper, only $11.99. All our tender beef joints are matured to perfection and produced in the heart of Cavan. Proudly supporting Irish suppliers. Go on, go full Lidl this Easter.
The Ray Darcy Show, weekdays from 3 on RTE Radio 1.
Johnny McAvoy, do you refer to yourself as John?
John, yeah.
Right.
The family. But when Mershon Durkin took off, it was suggested I change my name. I said, no, I'm not going to do that. And it caused a bit of a row, so I compromised. I'll go for Johnny. I was thinking of Johnny Cash and my lovely aunt Molly, where I used to spend my summer holidays down in Clonfert and Galway. When I became famous and it was Johnny McAvoy, she lived to be 93, and she always referred to me as Johnny McAvoy. And I said, Molly... My name is John. Oh, she wouldn't call me anything.
You'd be always Johnny McAvoy.
Starstruck.
The Ray Darcy Show. Listen back on the RTE Radio app.
Main Street, Carrickmacross, Cross, and across from Man Cave Barbers, is it's all about fashion, steels, menswear. Fine display in the window. We'll go in and have a chat with the man of the house.
Hello. Good. Good.
Gordon Steele, very good to meet you.
Oh, lovely to meet you. Steele's Menswear, that's what it's all about. It's all about fashion. About 17 years in business for myself. We can buy suits, we can do weddings, we do funerals, we do communion wear, casual wear, everything.
And how would you dress a Monaghan man?
Well, it's all to do with the man, I suppose. Look, if he has an idea of what he wants, we can deal with that and we'll sort him out.
Carrickmacross accent is particular.
No doubt about that. You're a kind of caught between the border, north and south. The more northern you go in Monaghan, you have a more northern accent.
Yeah. And you're proud of it?
Oh, definitely so. Yeah. Well, I'm a Carrickmacross man, born and bred. Brought up in the town, living here all my life. Dealing with all the local people all my life. So,
in general, how is business?
Well, business is tough. Like every small town and small independent, we need footfall and we need local people shopping with us. And people need to realise if you love your town and you're proud to say where you're from, you need to spend your money where you live. Because spending all your money elsewhere, which is understandable at times, I get that. We all travel and we do that. But if you can buy something locally, at the normal price it should be and all the rest, they should be shopping local. Because if they don't shop at their local towns, they're not going to have a town. That's as simple as.
Friday afternoon, busy town of Carrickmacross, and we're at the Eurospar to meet people who are very involved in Meals on Wheels, that great community service that serves many parts of the country so well, and here in Carrickmacross.
How are you? So this is the mania where the meals are all sorted. I think it's about 65 meals we have there. So we have burgers, we have roast lamb, we have roast chicken, we have salmon, curry. What we do is we do them up into bundles, and the volunteers will come and pick up their bundles.
Bernie McHugh coordinating the Meals on Wheels delivery with a small team at the back of the Eurospar. I join them and speak to some of the volunteers, including local businessman Jim Hand, who set up the Meals on Wheels service when his footwear shops were closed during COVID.
Jim Hand.
Yeah. Yes.
I love that. I love the idea of from a shoe shop, Hand's shoe shop.
The Americans are still, they come in, they look and they're not too sure if it's a joke or not. You know? COVID was the start of that, and there wasn't a Meals on Wheels service in Carrickmacross at the time, and obviously was a need. So Monaghan Integrated Development came and said, would you deliver dinner? So these were people who were customers of mine, right? And there was one man in particular, and he's since passed away, but himself and his wife, every single Thursday, came to our shop. And here I was delivering meals to him on a Sunday. I felt grateful for that, to tell you the truth. There's probably more in volunteering for me than there was. Okay, he was getting his dinner and we're having a crack about football and that there should have been more Inneskeen men on the Monaghan team. But I wasn't able to influence that, unfortunately.
My name is Susan Savage from Clontibret in County Monaghan.
And Susan, how many dinners have you here now to deliver in your green crate?
Seven.
Seven, okay.
Seven.
How long have you been doing this?
About 2 years, every Friday.
Every Friday.
Yeah.
So it's a fair bit of commitment. Yeah.
It is, but it's only for 2 hours, whatever. It's only a short window in the day, so it's grand. No.
Yeah.
Karen there behind the tills, we're very grateful to Karen and the whole team here in Eurospar who have helped us really to get this off the ground. I can't say enough about Karen.
Great.
Thanks, Karen.
It's a lovely town, Carrickmacross.
It's a fine town.
The main street, and I love that steeple up at the top of the street.
Yes,
it's beautiful.
Yes, and you've got the courthouse on the other side, the other end.
Mm.
Yeah. We're in a little small housing development called Clunalin. Very close to the town, like it's really within walking distance.
Nice settled estate too.
It is, because, it is, yeah.
This man is 90 years old, 90 years young.
Hello, John.
Hello.
You have a whole squad here with you today. They're doing a radio programme on the county, and they're following us today.
It's convenient for people like me. Saves me going out to shop and collect stuff and heat it and cook it and make a mess of it.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's good grub, obviously.
Yeah, it's not bad.
All right, John. Thanks a million. That's enjoy your the grub.
Do not get paid for that.
I said farewell to dear old dad and kissed my mother goodbye. And I left Castle Blaney, my old people and my home.
Here in Market Square in Castle Blaney, with my hand on the shoulder of a giant of country and western music, Big Tom McBride. Lovely sculpture here in the centre of the town, reminder of his connection to here. Blaney, of course, the country and western capital of Ireland, more or less the Nashville of Ireland. You see it in shops and premises around the lovely Eileen's Tea Rooms up on Main Street. Great photos of Big Tom and Margot and Daniel O'Donnell and Philomena Begley, pretty much all there. And from here today, we're going out the road to the farm where Big Tom spent part of his childhood and where his grandnephew, Damien Davis, now carries the flame of the music, himself a fine country and western singer who has just released his first album, Breaking Ground.
Lonely thoughts in late night Boston, much too long I've been away, but I'll spend my time and my last dollars getting home to the stony clay. How I long to be where.
My uncle Jerome, that's his house there. But I remember my grandfather in the house often spoke that the house was at least 300 years old, and it's been McBride's in that house all that time, yeah.
And your grandfather was Seamus McBride, who was the brother then of Tom, of
yes,
Big Tom.
Yeah, that's right. This yard here, we've plenty of cattle. Oh, they'll be as nosy as sin. They don't get to see too many strangers.
But bit of novelty for them.
That's it. Yeah.
Looking at the tractor here.
Yeah, I would have done most of the tractor work for my uncle, but we've quit that. And I lambed sheep here in the springtime, and I got rid of them because I'd just be a bit busier at music and that.
You can't do it all.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
For generations, it was survival. Didn't matter whether you enjoyed it or not. But now when you have the choice, you really would need to love it. But
I noticed that you'd recorded a bit of Willie Nelson and Merle Haggard. And
that's right.
They're great.
Some of the greats, and you do wonder, will we ever see the likes or anything like it again?
Yeah. You're part of the future here too. And I mean, and you're making something out of a long tradition and a family tradition.
Well, was it an old Hank Williams? Carrying on an old family tradition. Maybe not the drinking tradition that he sang about, but...
He's well off of that.
In
writing songs as well, you've kind of drawn a bit on the landscape and on...
That's right.
Patrick Kavanagh.
My brother Craig, he's a great songwriter. He's a lot of songs written. There's two included on my debut album. The first was The Stony Clay, about the county and the... But also a song close to my heart is The Man They Call Big Tom.
Was he the first of a new kind or the last of the old? The third son of a farmer man and a legend of our folk.
It was very important to me that I included a small tribute to my biggest musical influence, and... the years that grew up here, we often heard that they had very little. And I remember Tom saying here one day, he called with a far-out relative that had called, that he looked around and he said, do you know, we had nothing here, but we were happy. And I think there's a lot of people, we have everything, all the mad cons nowadays, but maybe not that happiness.
Would you intend to stay rooted here?
I could never think of another place that I just feel so fortunate to be here. And I'm not saying there's anything extra special. It's everywhere around the country is the same out rural, but I'd be very grateful that I'm here.
I reckon the Castle Blaney's probably grateful to have you as well.
Well, I don't know about that. Depends who you talk to, maybe.
The man they call Big Tom, I'll see you on the far side banks of Jordan.
Back to Castle Blaney, and I wander into E.J. Hughes' musical and confectionery store. You can buy dreams here. Well, dream catchers, toys, the Northern Standard newspaper, and guitars.
Hello there. How are you?
Good.
Is it Sean?
Yeah.
Shop owner Sean Hughes lives up the street in the house where he was born. He's a songwriter and member of the country band The Outlaws. We chat, and he reflects on business and the border during the worst of the troubles in the north.
When the troubles were in the north, every pub was stuffed. It was like the Wild West. Yeah. It was a boom town.
Yeah.
Anywhere along the border, between smuggling and one thing and another, we played the north all the time during the troubles. They were used to us crossing, you know, and I remember one night, they pulled us in, you know, to check the van. We got out of the van and we had a big box with two handles on it. Mic stands and mics and stuff like that. But this was a large box, like it was that width. And they took out the rest and we sat on the box. But they opened the panels of the doors, the back of the dash, underneath everything. We were sitting on the box, and it was when it was all finished, we put the box into the van. And Frank says to me, he was sitting on it, he says, "That's remarkable. They never checked the blooming box."
Yeah.
It could have been full of guns.
Yeah.
Whereas if you had guns, this is where you'd put them. Because you know? It was the right length. It's amazing. If you were brave enough and kept your cool, you could get away with murder.
Real outlaws.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're listening to The County Measure, and we're in Monaghan.
I'm Evelyn Conlon, a novelist and short story writer originally from Rockcorry in County Monaghan. And this is a piece called Thinking of Names. Some places have worthwhile poems made about them. Kavanagh's epic followed me to all sorts of places, important and not. Poems and place names have different meanings depending on where you think of them. When I've been away, I've imagined all sorts of moods and lights of Monaghan, past and present. Taking the route from Carrickmacross over the hills to Ballybay, thus avoiding Castle Blaney, leads you on a more meandering path through Loch Hagish, with byroads crossing from places called Dunamoyne, Broomfield, Latton, and the next county's Shercock. You may recognise Loch Hagish from the little rectangular packets of butter you get in all sorts of places, from Dublin to London and indeed some flights to Dubai. At Ballybay you have two choices of road to my nearest home village, Rockcorry, its real name being Buíochar, Cré Buí, Yellow Earth. Names tripped off the tongue locally garner other connotations when spoken from far away. And who wouldn't want, in theory, to be from Eublas, Cúil Dearadh, the nook of the oak trees? I've known two Blennies, one in New South Wales, boasting a wide main street, dressed up with smashing verandas, with the parking spots leaning down into the gully for the occasional heavy rain. Immense skies drop there into the distant horizon that spells eternity. The Monaghan one was first visited by me when selling the Rockcorry Christmas raffle tickets, and perceived by me to have been a big town outside our jurisdiction, with all sorts of streets running wildly around and off it. Well, there are, depending on your age or your intentions. Travelling that upper road over Tussie Cross, which always gets the snow and silver-frosted icicles first, there is suddenly a spot where you see the perfect bunch of Drumlins, sloping away to their heart's content as you round the hill, almost laughing at how they were first described. The flotsam of the rolling iceberg, San Rang Cheolis. One hill creeping up on the next, begging to be used as a perfect example of undulation. Returning emigrants arriving on visits with their calling cards roll the names on their tongues, investing them with extra daydreams, putting together layered pictures for discussion and vibrant memory making. No matter where I am, I can call those names up most days without too much effort or fuss.
The mixed communities of Monaghan and the old undertows of sectarian tension were explored brilliantly in the writings of the late Eugene McCabe. The tension has faded, and small pockets of old loyalties can now express themselves in freedom and safety. I meet Wilson Jebb and Isaac Leven, two members of the Graham Memorial Clontibret Pipe Band, at the local Orange Hall.
Hi, my name is Wilson Jebb. I'm currently the pipe major of the Graham Memorial Clontibret Pipe Band.
My name is Isaac Leatham. I'm probably one of the oldest members in the band. The band has had good success down through the years. I think it was in 2016 we won the British in Paisley. And then that same year we were second in the World Pipe Band Championships.
Wilson, you'd normally play, I think, on St. Patrick's Day and then various festivals through the year. And then for the 12th of July, you'd go to Armagh and to parades there?
12th of July, absolutely. And that was a full-on day, you know, of playing in the morning. There's usually the town of Tandragee to go for in first, and then wherever the main parade is that day. And a good family day out as well.
Have you ever had any negative response?
No, nothing recently, but, you know, when the Troubles are still ongoing, you know, we're quite close to it here. It would be common enough during the Troubles for the hall here to get, you know, windows broken at one point in time, paint thrown at it, you know, just because of what it was and what it stood for, you know.
There was a pipe band in Monaghan, and there was a couple of flute bands just down the road here, and they all fell by the wayside in 68, 69. And the Troubles really got going.
And we have none of that, definitely in the last 15 easy years, maybe 20 years, you know, since the Good Friday Agreement has. It's nothing has happened since.
Where did you get these pipes, Wilson?
I always wanted, for my 40th, a brand new set of pipes. I had a brother that actually passed away back in 2015. He was quite young, he was 36. And then when that happened, I just took the bull by the horns and said, right, I'm going to get these, you know. So pretty much made from African blackwood. Beautiful. You have four components, really, to the Highland bagpipe. You have the bag itself, okay. Blowpipe, which is here, which you actually blow into because it's a wind instrument. Yeah. And from there, then, what makes the sound is drones, which is three off, and the chanter itself. And I'm blowing four reeds here. You've got 10 players. There's 40 reeds that you've got to get into one tone, you know.
With your work cut out.
Exactly.
What's that feeling like to play the pipes, you know, in a marching band? Because the power that comes across to the person listening is enormous.
It has a very unique sound, the pipes, you know. And, you know, you have no music in front of you. Of course, there's a lot on the blowing as well. You know, you have to be... keep your bag quite full and keep the pressure on, a certain pressure. They're not an easy instrument to master by any means.
In a skein immortalised by Patrick Kavanagh, this morning there was a haze of mist everywhere. You see where the god of imagination walking in a muck or fog originated. Duffy's, McCabe's, Brennan's, Shanko Duff, the Big Fourth, Glasdrummond Chapel, the Black Hill that looks eternally north towards Armagh. How Kavanagh named and painted it all for us. And how good it is to see him honoured in the Patrick Kavanagh Centre here in Inneskeen, as he's honoured every St. Patrick's Day at his seat by the Grand Canal in Dublin. Leafy with love, these ivy-clad trees, these green fields, this stony grey soil. It would be a good question for a table quiz. What Irish town has the squealing pig pub on one corner and the screaming bean cafe directly opposite? Answer, Monaghan Town. And we're back here on the Diamond, the lively heart of this busy, laid-back, endlessly friendly place. Stories galore here, sharp memories, shadows, visible and invisible. 50 years ago this May, since a UVF car bomb explosion on North Road killed 7 people. Plans now for a peace campus in the town. All has changed, but the past has its power and place. In McCaughey's Bar near the Diamond, I meet proprietor Jim and his daughter Fiona and hear some of the stories, some of the memories, and meet the enduring spirit of the people.
Yeah. Good evening. How are you?
Yeah. He kept our corner for us. Jim, how long have you been in business here?
I'll be 39 years past there on the 3rd of February. Yeah.
Good going.
Good going, surely.
How many pubs would have been in Monaghan when you
first started? I think there's around 26. There's only 11 open at the minute.
Change times.
Change times, yeah.
But you have a good steady trade here.
Yeah, steady enough, yeah. Yeah. The off-license, we could help there too, you know.
Jim, I suppose Monaghan has seen so many changes over the years, and it's 50 years this year since the bombing.
Oh, 1974.
May.
74, yeah, I remember it well. I was living in Mill Street at the time, just round the corner from where the bomb went off, and we had every window and door blew in the house. And I remember going out onto the street and round the corner, and there was two men lying dead at the front door. Yeah, and there's kiosk that evening. There's a wee cafe, Jack Malone's cafe, across the way from it, and it blew up. It was in flames, sort of it. And there was one poor fella, early 20s at the time. He had the loveliest pair of brown shoes ever you've seen on a man. And his body, there wasn't a mark on him, but he had no head. The head was blew clean off him. Terrible.
Oh, thank God those days are behind us.
Oh, thanks for the God. Great. Great, you wouldn't want to see that again.
Down through the years, would have had a lot of customers would have come in. There's one particular man, Davy Parker, he was badly hurt in it. And I would have spoken to Davy about the bomb. And he, in his later years, he was still crying over the trauma of it. Do you know?
I don't think there's a lot of people never got over it.
Well, there is that reality of
post-traumatic stress disorder, you know, they'll carry that.
Oh, there's no aftercare for people to deal with their trauma. I don't think there'll be any more trouble like that. People don't want that. I mean, I don't ever think ordinary Joe Soaps wanted it in the first place.
There was a lot of people come in from the north that time. A lot of them still here. Some of them went back. Very few of them went back, though. Yeah, because the north was a dangerous place that time.
Because we sometimes forget how close, like Monaghan being part of Ulster and so close to Tyrone and Armagh, you know, it's the one hinterland, really.
That's right.
Fiona, what are your memories of growing up here in and around the pub?
You learn things from people, that, you know, what you hear from the locals, the old stories of the old men, of the characters. Our customers would be like extended family. There's a lot of shite talk, but a lot of good crack and a lot of good stuff.
It's a talker's bar. And I have to point out that I'm standing very close to a sign.
The bullshit corner.
Oh,
you hear plenty. And you have plenty of leisure about there, I tell you. Oh, Christ, for me. You wouldn't want to believe all you'd hear about that.
I'd say not. It's a lovely spot, though.
Yeah. Oh, it is now. It's nice. Yeah. It's a good, friendly place, really. Yeah. Yeah. You know, everybody knows other.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, you sense that. You know, you get such a strong sense of that.
Don't you?
Yeah, completely. Yeah. The minute you step in.
You know, and when anything happens or something's wrong, everybody gets on board to help everybody else. You know, there's a lovely community spirit.
You wouldn't live anywhere else?
Absolutely not.
That's the spirit of Monaghan.
How are we working, eh?
You travel in time in Monaghan, Drumlin Light and Slow Towns, Ballybay, Drum, Emmyvale, Inneskeen, Glasloch, New Bliss, Oram, a rich unfolding of names and histories, each town, each place, its own world. People here have a refreshing, open curiosity, a great sense of resilience and determination, a grounded and grounding humour. To adapt a line from a favourite country and western song often played here, step into County Monaghan, take time here, and I promise you won't come out the same way you came in.